1 minute and counting. Say hello to everybody. Life is always interesting. Every day is important. Sometimes we get through situations, depending on our age and what we've seen, where we feel that life is taking on more significance. I can tell you that every day is important. We each individually go through things. Some people through trauma in the given day, other people just getting through the day and enjoying it and relaxing. So, no matter what the day brings, let me say this, that the experience of life is what shapes you and teaches you. And it just doesn't teach you about things that are outside. It teaches you about things that interfere with other people or happen. It teaches you how people react to what you're doing, because any of us want to make sure that if we do something, that we accomplish what we hope to, or at least come across as a reasonable human. Today we put a question out there. It says, what are the main things that you expect from the congresspersons, plural, who represent you? We gave you four examples. You could put whatever you want. The reason for the question is, of course, everybody's heard about impeachment. Of course, a lot of people, if they've had the time, have watched what's going on. If any of us break the law, we're talking about, with the opioid crisis, this may seem like I'm going off, but believe me, I'm not. The opioid crisis, there have been a lot of people sometimes from poor neighborhoods or poor backgrounds who've been thrown in jail for minimal possessions for a long period of time. Yet, we have people who, because they can afford to hire a good attorney, may get a slap on the wrist. Do we, because a lot of people like him or fear him, decide that when a president breaks our laws, that he is not subject to being under those laws? The important thing that's going on right now in Washington or throughout our country is not so much the election. Forget the distractions, they're all important, and I'm going to try and go over subjects we don't always get to talk about. But the president is a man. George Washington, when he served his first few terms, people wanted him to stay on. He himself said, I don't want to. We don't want a monarch. We don't want people to do it. I can point to FDR. He was such a popular president, forgetting his infirmities, and then at the period of time, he made everybody feel comfortable. He was the right man for the time to a certain extent, but when he kept getting reelected, the opposite party, who happened to be the Republicans at the time, it doesn't matter, decided, we don't want somebody who's popular to keep getting reelected and we get closed out. So what did they do? They helped sponsor, when they had enough people, this shows you how Congress people get together for various reasons. They helped sponsor the legislation that put a term limit on the presidency. Two terms. Interestingly enough, they hated themselves a few years later because down the road there was a president who was elected who was quite popular. His name was Dwight David Eisenhower. Eisenhower was a famous general war hero from the World War II who got elected and was a Republican, and they were killing themselves because he could have been elected three or four times. That's how popular he was. But their own rule came back to bite them. We don't want new rules and crazy rules to come back and bite us. We have laws, we have a constitution, we've got scholars who could tell you it leans this way or that. You're going to see a performance by what may be called the dream team of lawyers that Trump has hired. If you understand his background, he's hired lawyers just to keep people dancing. He doesn't care if he wins or loses because he knows he can always appeal. So he's going to appeal and try and tell you whatever you've heard is nonsense. You have seen facts in front of your eyes. You have seen the president when he came back recently from Davos, and he only spent 2 days because most of the people dislike him over there. He is not friendly with other leaders. He doesn't care. He feels he knows enough, and that's it. You can go overboard with your own intellect and decide that you don't need to hear from anybody, and that makes you dangerous in some cases. There are a million examples of how he has reiterated how smart he is and how this he is. Look at the facts. Look at what he said. Don't be fooled by his next slogan. The bottom line is we deserve someone who obeys our laws. We have to. He has to. And that's what they're discussing now. If the Republican-dominated Senate does not give us the opportunity to call witnesses and documentation, because as has been said, this is the first president who has ever blanket decided he does not have to cooperate with a co-equal branch, the Congress, when they issue subpoenas for people from his administration or documents. So imagine any criminal on trial, if we gave them the right to walk into the police station or the detective's desk and take all the documents that go about the investigation of the crime they committed. And he doesn't have to kill any witnesses. He just has to say, well, no, I'm being tried, but I'm going to tell you, you can't use that witness, that witness, that witness. Think of all the shows you've seen about trials. If the defendant, the person on trial, had the right to disqualify any witnesses people want to call, to disqualify any documentation. If you think that that's fair, then I guess we don't need a constitution. Anyway, the question is up there on the thing. I gave four ideas. There are so many different answers. Please give me your input. I would like to know how you're thinking about it. And by the way, the reason that we did separation of church and state in this country was because we all understand there are these religious laws, God laws, the Ten Commandments, the biblical laws, the Quran, whatever you follow, Buddhism, it doesn't matter. But this ethereal being, God, you can follow what you believe are the ethics of God's law, religious principles to live by. But we created almost 250 years ago a set of laws and rules for people to live by, not beings that we can't see or touch, that we can pray to, but beings that we elect and put out there, and laws that deal with the interaction of people with each other. As I explained once a long time ago in my podcast, when I studied being Jewish, I was sent to Hebrew school. I've been a night student, as I've said, since the second grade. And in Hebrew school, I went through a lot of it and studied the different parts of what people refer to loosely as the Bible. A lot of the laws, like the laws of kosher, they are not religious laws. These are laws that man figured out from experience that save you from poisoning yourself. Precursor, as I said, to the Food and Drug Administration. So there are man's laws and God's laws. We do not need to blend them and confuse them. We do not need, we usually do an opening invocation or convocation at our meetings because we believe in God. We don't despair and dismiss God. But we allow people to pray in the way they want. And we allow them, within reason, to not enforce their religion on us. Everybody's welcome to pray to the God they like. When you talk about a chasm, this is a space between things, a split in the earth. I used to joke because I found that if you get too serious, you sometimes lose your perspective. What was the biggest chasm on earth, I used to say? It's sarcasm. You can make cute remarks about anything. Trump has recently announced that he doesn't think he wants to participate in any debates. Well, you know, he'll be lucky if he isn't in jail before this year is out, because the man has committed things that I know from my own life that I have to be careful about that are crimes. I know I do not send a letter to one of my mortal enemies and ask them to participate and help me win an election. It's clear under our laws that solicitation of a foreign government, entity, or company is illegal. Period. Period. Full stop. And the man has said he wants to get rid of something that we loosely call the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, meaning when you interact and pay bribes. I can tell you, I worked in corporate America. I worked for big corporations. I worked in various industries. I went to various governments that we had to interact with when we did work in other countries. And I can tell you, the proudest thing I can say is I never paid a dime to anyone to get anything done. If we can't use our brain power and our understanding, because when we end up in other countries, we're there for one reason. They want something we have. We're happy if they adapt or adopt our principles of democracy and the rule of law. But they come through, in most cases, you look at China, India, and those countries, they've got thousands of years of history, way before we ever existed. So they've got a history that's different, and they were used to having leaders that are more like warlords or kings or monarchs. As they come into the modern era, they'll want to express themselves more. Democracy has a way of invading life and saying, why can't I have more freedom? Why can't I do this? Freedom comes with the consequence of, as I said, my quote, which people think I took from places, but I've proven before, it doesn't exist any place but under my list from 50 years ago easily. Freedom is a double-edged sword. In order to have it, you must give it. So if they don't give us the freedom to go after a criminal, then we are not free. If we allow a criminal, if we have to wait for the election because we're disgusted with what is going on, what is clearly what the president has done, as I've told you, I have filed. I've not only served my country because I felt they deserved my service when I was 18. I went in. I serve my country every day. I have filed briefs when I thought it might help with the Supreme Court, friend of the court brief. I'm not an attorney, but I understand a lot of these matters. So, and let me also point out to any of my friends, there's nothing wrong with being a Republican or a Democrat or an Independent. We're all Americans. We tend to go toward a party, as I've said. You want to be with the party because you want to be able to vote the way our system is set up in the primaries. So you have more of a say of who moves forward, so that when you have that final election vote, you may have someone that you prefer to choose from. As I've said to you, the worst thing we do as Americans is to get apathetic. If I like candidate A and they don't make it to that final vote, that final ballot that I get, it doesn't mean I don't vote. That's what it isn't an ugly statement to say you vote for the lesser of two evils. If you have two people left to vote for and you don't like either one, Don't sit home. Come out, because that person's going to be in charge of your country, be supposedly enforcing our laws, helping our economy keep growing and moving. So what you want to do is you want to go out and decide which one would do less damage to what I believe my country stands for. Don't sit home because your candidate didn't win. And by the way, if you feel you can never vote for a Democrat, I want to make sure that everybody understands. I've been in Washington a lot in my life. I've dealt with politics a lot in my life. And Republicans are Americans, and I had a lot of respect. Republicans always stood together more as a group than Democrats did. Even when it was generally all male in the Congress, the Democrats had more diverse backgrounds, we could say. The Republicans were actually people who stood for certain fiscal type policies. They didn't want to overexpand. They didn't want too much debt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can read it. You could talk about it. Ask me, send questions, and I'll gladly describe it in more detail. You've got a Republican who is out there running right now, who is the same age as Trump. And I'll give you a cute clue so you could remember his name. Again, as I said, our language has over a million words, but only 26 letters, so we use them a lot. The man's name, who's a Republican who's running, is Weld. What's a weld? A weld, according to the dictionary, is something where you join two pieces of material together. You could stitch them together, but generally a weld means you've used some high energy and you've welded the two pieces together, so it's harder to for them to break apart. Well, the man's name is William Weld. He's, again, around the same age as Donald Trump. And if you want credentials, because Trump wants to tell you he's well-educated, this man has two of his degrees from Harvard University, an undergraduate and his law degree, and both with distinguished marks. He also has a degree in economics from a place called Oxford, one of the colleges that's part of Oxford University over in England. The man is scholarly, but he speaks quite well, and he's been around for a while. He's been the governor of Massachusetts. In fact, his first term when he finished in Massachusetts, he was reelected by one of the highest margins for reelection in the state of Massachusetts. Now, the man, while he is someone that you'd consider a conservative, so I'm saying you're a Republican, you don't want to miss a vote. You recognize that you're distraught by this man who has taken your party and subverted it to his own little monarchy. So even if we don't do what is clearly shown by the evidence and impeach this man and stop him, because all he's doing, as I have explained in many ways, he's staying there because he's got his hand in the cookie jar and he's already taken hundreds of millions of dollars from our treasury and put it in his companies, his pockets, in ways that you could see if you pay attention, ways that you don't see. But Mr. Weld, although he is a general, normal, old-line Republican, what we consider conservative in arrest, he's a thinking person. He supports cutting taxes and pulling back spending. He opposes the tariffs. As I said, the degree he got was in economics over in Cambridge, in Oxford, I should say. He understands how economics works. He just doesn't willy-nilly throw things out. He is anti-Trump's tariffs. He understands that those tariffs are a tax on us. And when Trump put those tariffs on, it gave him more money to then hand out to farmers who were hurting so he could subsidize them. What did you always hear from Republicans about subsidies and spending billions of dollars to, in effect, buy votes? Social issues. Bill Weld believes that everybody deserves a fair chance. He is not anti-gay marriage. He is not anti-LGBTQ rights. He is not anti-abortion. He's been on both sides of it, but he understands that women have rights. The government can't always just say, we're going to tell you what can happen with your body. As I've said before, in trying to make this point, it's not the same, but how would you feel as a man if the government said, you can't have your prostate operated on unless we say so? It's a growing thing. How do we know what it might become if you leave it alone? I know it sounds silly, but it makes the point. He believed that when he was governor of Massachusetts in increased Medicaid access when needed for people or children who needed coverage. He supports non-nuclear proliferation. He wants closer ties with Canada and Mexico. He recognized as a trained person in economics that as a continent, the North American continent, if we work together, we can deal better with blocks of people in other parts of the world. Immigration and border security, he wants security, but he doesn't want blanket deportation. We've got 11 million people who've been working here because businesses let them work here. Nobody harps on that point that these businesses made money off these people. So again, if you need to vote and you don't want to sit home, and I don't believe anybody should sit home, I am hoping that this election, if all the Democrats, the independents, the liberals, and the Republicans come out, I want to see us have over 70 to 75% participation in this election. Even if Donald Trump is already impeached and kicked out, it doesn't matter. Even if we get rid of the infection that's in our government, we have to come out and say we're starting a new era. Americans understand what your vote means. So I want you to come out and I want you to vote. Don't fractionalize things. Put in a group that you feel will change things. Don't allow the people who sit there, because right now I have never in my life seen these well-trained, literate Republicans kowtow that they're afraid Donald Trump is going to do something to them if they don't follow his word. Right now, when you see them acting as a monolithic body, that should scare you. You should be writing your senators, any of them, who are unwilling to vote. McConnell is playing with these things. McConnell needs to be retired, and I believe this year when he runs, the citizens of his state will retire him. But I think it's important because all of those senators and congresspeople, representatives, they are the ones who are pushing it. If you call them, you fax them, you email them, tell them why are they afraid to have witnesses and documents that Trump has blocked. When you have a defendant on trial, they should never get to choose. If they're innocent and what they've done is perfect, they should not be afraid of the sunlight of allowing these people out there to testify. Anyway, I get enraged when people don't understand that our democracy, what have we got to lose? Our democracy. We already have, because of Trump using the leverage of illegally, under our own rules, of withholding monies to the Ukraine to get them to try and he didn't care if they did an investigation. He's a showman. He just wanted them to say they're starting an investigation. Because that's what he did to, I believe it was at least 16 normal Republicans when he ran for president. What he did was poo-poo them, give them nicknames, make them seem like little slime things or crooks or whatever, labels that are meaningless. And everybody was taken in by this. The economy, as I've said before, go out and look at it. Where the stock market was when Obama took over and where it was when he left office, if Trump can hit that percentage of change, our stock market would be much higher than it is now. He doesn't control the market. And you know what? The majority of us are not invested in the market. We're invested in America, our country. And when he gives away tax dollars, as I've said to you before, Have you seen any of these big corporations that have had these tremendous tax cuts? Have you seen them cut the price of their goods and services? Because I've explained before, I am an economist by training. I love the subject. It's natural laws. When we buy goods and services, all costs are put in that. And the profit if the company wants to stay in business. So I can tell you that when they talk about, and I'm not picking on Amazon, but a simple example because people have heard of it, Amazon pays no taxes, it doesn't mean that they haven't collected taxes. When I say collected taxes, you think of a government collects taxes, but no. When a business has to put all their expenses into the product or service you buy, it includes state, local, and federal taxes. They know what they would pay on the income that they're projecting to make. So they put that in. And the reason is that if you heard that noise, nobody's going to strafe me and bomb me. This is not 1917. But there are executive airports around Orlando. And now and then you may hear a small plane that goes overhead. Anyway, the bottom line being that they've collected taxes in the price of what they've sold you. Have they lowered the price? Did you hear these corporations say this tax cut was so massive, we've gotten so much money out of it that we're going to lower the price? Because taxes is an expense. When they keep that money, that means they've charged you more for their product. We have to get to a point where we get past this man and start to interact and understand who pays the bills here. We the people pay the bills. It's our country. We just have to understand it better. We don't have to rebel. We don't need a bloody revolution. We need an intelligent revolution where we come out and say, these are the issues we want. We also can't sit on the sidelines because an issue we want is not being talked about when you're going to the voting booth. You want to pick a person who you generally understand is leaning in the correct direction. He may not, he or she or whoever, may not have leaned in the direction that you want, but at least you know they're not leaning in the directions you don't want. That's why I talk about the lesser of two evils. Let's catch up on things, because there have been a lot of things going on. That's why I've left my title of What Have We Got to Lose? When I was a kid, I read a lot. To me, I didn't have enough toys to play with, maybe. My parents didn't have the money, but papers were there, magazines, the local library, everything I can get my hands on. I started to understand that the way we develop what we think and what we know is by observation. We see how things happen, how people interact. The weather fascinated me as a kid. We had no satellites up there. We didn't have planes flying into hurricanes all the time back then when I was a kid. But we still predict the weather. It's called modeling. We look at what happened in the past and what these patterns seem to indicate. So when I was a kid and I started to understand this, I used to look out my back window in Brooklyn. Yeah, we have windows in Brooklyn. We don't all have tall buildings. We don't all live in skyscrapers. We have backyards. It may be a little patch of grass, but I learned basic farming skills on a patch of grass behind my public school. We used to do that when I was a kid in Brooklyn. Brooklyn, 3 million people since I was there and even after. It's called a borough, but it would be called a state or a country in some cases with that many people. But I learned that weather people predict by watching the clouds and patterns back then, before satellites and stuff. So I used to watch it and then look at the weather maps that were published in the paper. None of these fancy ones that we have nowadays. None of the internet where I can see the patterns moving and they can make these great big charts for me. And I started to observe it and started to understand that these things, just like the old farmers, there was something called the Farmer's Almanac. The farmers would understand by what was happening that they had experienced before that they could predict that this or that might be what's going on. So I put this title that we've been using, What Have We Got to Lose? And I apologize. I can think of many titles for every week. But when I started this, probably over a month and a half ago at least, I already saw that this man had been able to quash impeachment by the Mueller thing because it wasn't an independent counsel, but a special. He brought in Bill Barr, who said, oh, he was exonerated. Please, if you ever get to read that thing, you'll find out it details the crimes he committed. So I recognized that the 2018 election opened up the chance of the change in the House of Representatives of doing something about this man. Nancy Pelosi has been around a long time. She's a tactician. She thinks. I don't underestimate women ever. If you think about it, it was women who raised us in most cases. So a lot of the logic we picked up was from our moms in the old days. Now you've got both halves of the couple generally working, so it changed a little bit. So I recognized that she was going to look and do, and what she did strategically was say, hey, let's look at just these crimes. Don't be distracted by saying, well, why didn't they go after this? Why didn't they go after that? As has been said, Trump, as I've told you, historically, if he'd lose a case because he didn't want to pay someone, he'd just appeal it and then appeal it again. He'd keep you tied up till you got tired of spending money. But he knew you could bury something in the courts. Here's a man who understood that tactic. It's a strategy. So here's a woman who said, I don't need to go after that if I have proof positive. And we were lucky that approximately 17 good Americans stepped forward and testified with real knowledge, with real evidence and documentation. We're saying we'd like the original document. We're saying we'd like John Bolton. John Bolton has supposedly gotten money for a book that's going to come out. I think the reason he announced recently that he is willing to testify in front of the Senate if they subpoena him, so that he could say when the book comes out and he reveals things that are so shocking, okay, because he had firsthand knowledge, that nobody's going to say, well, why didn't you tell the public? Why did you just take a payday and let us all vote and maybe re-vote for this creature that doesn't deserve to be voted for? So he offered, if he gets subpoenaed, so that blocking him, because he's no longer in the government, by not allowing testimony of witnesses because the defendant, the person on trial, is blocking testimony? Think about it, folks. That upsets a whole judicial system. If that's what you want to live under, where someone's going to say what happens, you want a gang leader in charge of your country. So, Trump, while all this has been going on, he has removed more pollution controls on streams and wetlands. We have navigable water protection rules. He calls it. He's protecting these navigable waters? No. He's rolling back parts of, in 1972, they passed what was called the Clean Water Act to take care of certain streams and wetlands. He, while he's telling you he's protecting navigable waterways, is allowing them to take off the pollution controls. We talk about stopping fossil fuels because people generally understand it puts more pollutants that warm the atmosphere and are not good for us to breathe. Somebody need just look at China and Beijing. China grew because they had unrestricted growth of power plants. I've talked about it before. Coal-fired plants are the easiest to build, but they put more dirt in the atmosphere. Can we deal with it? Yes, there are ways of dealing with it better, but if you want to just put out energy fast and then offer people a working force that's cheaper, we fueled China's economy. They fueled pollution. People walk around Beijing with masks on most of the time. Is that what we want? Because let me remind you, air does not just sit on a country or a state or a city. It permeates the atmosphere, and eventually it comes to us. Just as happened with Chernobyl in Russia, that some of it drifted into Northern Europe. So when a country blatantly doesn't care about environmental controls, and we keep buying products from China, rather than saying, hey, let's get someone who reopens the factories here, let's pay a little more, because we want our children and grandchildren and thereafter to be able to breathe the atmosphere on the planet. There's a famous saying that I don't know where it came from originally. I could always look it up. You get what you pay for. If you're unwilling to pay for better air and water, look at the explosion of the population buying bottled water, because we all want to have better water, have a better body, be in better shape. Buying the water in a bottle is nice, but protecting the waters that we have. So Trump again has pulled back the Clean Air Act. You've seen things where they go after people. Trump still, no matter what he says, is racist and misogynistic. He doesn't value women the way they should be. They are an equal part of our government, an equal part of our country. We need to exploit whatever brain power they have. We need to use them as well as we use men. If you follow Donald Trump, you'll see he doesn't believe in those things. You'll see different treatments. Donald Trump wanted to prove that he would take this Navy SEAL and give him back his trident, even though all the leaders within the SEALs and the people who trained them took it away from him because he committed a crime. We have some of the most well-trained, dangerous people on the planet in our Navy SEALs, in our special ops, in our Rangers. But we want them to be that knight in shining armor who doesn't just use their skills to kill randomly. That's not how the president sees it. Mr. Petraeus, who I think was one of our more brilliant, we have tons of brilliant generals. He was brilliant, but he was duped again by his sexual dalliances and betrayed the country. Gave out classified material to a woman he was sleeping with and the rest. Do I want to cut him out of giving us strategic information? No. But if you'd listen to Lindsey Graham and even McCain while he was still alive, they wanted Mr. Petraeus to become the Secretary of State. You know what? He's not the only brilliant mind we have in this country. He already showed us how stupid he could be by giving out classified documents under other than nice conditions to someone he was sleeping with. Knew she was writing a book. So where is his intellect? Why would we want to trust him? Why do we trust this man who's in the White House, who invites the Russians in as soon as he takes over the Oval Office? Who? People haven't talked about it enough. Putin wanted to get the pressure off. Now, you got to recognize, before Trump got in, we recognized all of our intelligence agencies knew that the cyber attacks from Russia against our defenses, our industry, our internet, were all to promote different things. It was conclusive by all of our intelligence agencies. So now Putin wants to rewrite things. So Putin came up with the idea, why not push an additional thing? Forget just going after the Bidens. Let's say the Ukraine were the ones who were doing these cyber attacks. The Ukrainians are an emerging democracy. They've had a lot of corruption. We're working with them. They finally elected a guy who wasn't one of their rich oligarchs, but a man who has enough intellect who doesn't want to kowtow to this bending, to just start something, to satisfy someone. Let me just say this. I get a question from Facebook from K.S. James, and I really thank anybody for their questions. Could the impeachment cost the GOP its Senate majority? Right now, the way the GOP is acting is they've got to protect this guy to keep their majority. I really think from the Republicans I've worked with and dealt with throughout my life, they are Americans like anybody else. They've served like anybody else. Daddy Bush and Junior both served in our military. Daddy Bush served in World War II. We almost didn't have the Bush family because of things that happened to him. But we have had many Republicans. As I said, the Republicans hated what they did with FDR of making that rule that only two terms can a president have. Because when Eisenhower was so popular, a Republican, again, someone who served our country in the highest capacity in the military. So could the GOP, right now, they're acting like they're protecting their flank. They have a territory, like they're a gang in the middle of a park. And they have to stop people from opening up the doors and really looking at what they're doing. It will hurt them now. But you know what? I think if the GOP, the senators who've been there long enough, who remember what it meant to be a Republican, not to be kowtowed and bullied by this man in the White House, if they get up their courage and they stand up and say, just as they did when they hated, they didn't want him even at the Republican convention. The Republicans were against him when he was winning the nomination. If they would remember their principles and stand up and say, you know what? Yes, he's a Republican president, but we want the facts to be presented. A defendant doesn't have the right to obscure documents and facts. That's dangerous because it will come back to bite them when there's a different person in the office. Maybe they think that if he stays in the office, that he'll stay there for life. He'll die someday. There'll be somebody else taking over, no matter how long it takes. But let me remind you, if he gets away with what he has done, the principle they're talking about is that he won't even talk to Mitch McConnell. He won't care if they appoint judges because he will have realized that he can get away with breaking the law and he's in charge and he will just put out edicts. Not executive orders. He may call them that. So, you know what? Yes, impeachment might hurt the GOP now, but not as much if they stand up for the principles that they knew before Donald Trump was in office. And they say that we want to have the evidence direct what our decision is. And then if Bolton and Mulvaney come to testify the way they should and documents are released, and they, again, validate his impeachment, which is on factual presentations, they will at least have a standing where they could get reelected because they stood up for what America is, the rule of law, freedom to exercise these things, proper ways of looking at it. Again, Trump, among other things, he's distracting people again by birth tourism. I knew that this country had to grow, so we were happy to have people come here from all over the world. We are diverse. I think that's part of the beauty of our country and has made us more powerful. We understand that minds don't have a color. It's called gray matter. It's not called black matter or brown matter or white matter or yellow matter. So I've always understood that we want this diversity, this interaction. I don't like, because we've grown to over 300 million people, that people come here and just drop a baby and then they go home and that baby is a U.S. citizen. It's a cute way of making your baby have an automatic right to be here. We can change our laws, but Trump wants to now look at passports and stop pregnant people, but you know what? The way he is, he won't stop pregnant people from Finland and Sweden, you know, white blondes and stuff, which he prefers. The man is racist. The man will impose these things the way he wants. Recognize what a dictator is. Don't look at the title president. People have followed with the growth of democracy around the globe and used the title president in too many countries where they're not a free country, and it is a dictatorship. Putin has consolidated power, including for life if he wants, in the Russia. They can call him president all they want. Doesn't make him a freely elected individual in a country that you have the right to do the things we have here, which we will lose if we don't protect them. So Trump is going after birth tourism. It's a distraction. I don't like it that people can come here, drop a baby, and the baby is automatically a citizen. But we need a Congress who works to put laws down that if you came here, and let's say you don't live here for 2 years when you give birth, your child is not automatically a citizen. You could maybe give them a right that they could get a green card and they can be here, you know, under a different status. But let's deal with the issue. Let's not use it as a distraction. People aren't even noting there have been these weather patterns that have been happening in Spain. Not just things that happen here, the storms, the snow, the water, the earthquakes in Puerto Rico. There's plenty of things going on this planet that we all have to interact with. And by the way, when it comes to Puerto Rico, I could talk endlessly about the monies that are still held up from the hurricane they experienced, and now they've got the earthquakes and we're doing nothing. There is the perfect infrastructure bill where we could set it up, allocate monies, build a different type of electrical grid, not the way they have it and just restore it. Build something that makes sense, employing only American companies and American labor and American equipment to rebuild Puerto Rico. This weather that is unbelievable hitting the southern coast of Spain, where the death toll has been climbing from this winds and the ocean whipping up and hitting the southern coast of Spain. It's not the only spot. I believe the storm is called Gloria. But these are people again, humans that are suffering, that nobody's paying attention to because we're distracted. Trump, when he ran for office, he said, oh, no, I would never cut Social Security or Medicare. When the man gave away all that money in his tax bill in 2017, you've got a budget. He doesn't like budgets because he just takes money and puts it in his own pocket. And if everybody else is shortchanged, just like the way he's taking money out of the military for this wall that is far from being impregnable or so great. But he's now spoken again because he knows you need money to balance what's going on, where what he's spending and what he's gotten rid of in the way of tax revenues. And again, those tax revenues were our money that we paid through buying goods and services that those companies are holding on to. I've talked about it. We need to change it. When they put taxes in the cost of their goods, those taxes should be deposited, just as our taxes are taken out of our pay when we work. Give them a credit slip and say, whenever you report this income, you can take credit for the taxes you collected from us, but put in the treasury. We would then have to borrow less and pay less. You want to talk broad economics? I'm always ready for it. But so Trump has opened the door again to Social Security and Medicare cuts, and then he's saying, well, we might not have to cut it because the economy is growing so great. The U.S. economy, I've realized over time, again, economics being one of my majors, economics being one of my favorite sciences, this country has always forged forward. We've stayed at the front lines of things. But because we put incentives in there to within our country, to develop these areas and do it, not to offshore all this money. We've created China as a major economic power by companies who've offshored to keep more profit in their pocket. We create our own enemies. We create our own problems. That's how you lose control of your place on the planet, your power that you have. We still are a dominant economy. Let's make sure we change who is running our government, okay? So that we don't have people who are making deals to put money in their pocket rather than our pocket as a country. Donald Trump, no matter what happens with the impeachment, there are dozens of lawsuits. He's always being litigated. But in the meantime, he's been piling up money from us. I've talked about it before. Over 300 days in his administration, he's gone to his resorts. We've paid over an average of $1 million a day. That's $300 million out of our treasury that was supposed to pay for other budget items that have gone into his resorts, his companies. Forget the backdoor deals that he's making through the people he put, as I told you, in the VA. When they finish investigating him, I hope they make him pay everything back, because that's our money that he's taking that was there for other purposes. So even, you could probably name any government, the city of New York, the state of New York, other countries, other governments, state governments who are after him. And when he's out of office, he will be in all this litigation. And he'll try and use whatever he can to say, well, you know, they're harassing me. He'll open up a channel and his followers who want to listen to him spin more yarns will probably pay 10 bucks a month to put, if he kept his half, his 40 million followers, that'll mean he can get easily almost a $500 million a year flowing in. He could open up a little channel. He doesn't need the people. Just talk like I'm doing. Keep most of the money and pay for these lawsuits till he dies. His business empire, the man has been one of the biggest failures on the planet. Mr. Bloomberg, I'm happy, did announce that he said, and normally when he says that, he does follow through. He said even if he doesn't win the nomination, he will continue to spend whatever it takes to get rid of this abomination that we have running our country. And when I say running it into the ground is more likely. Let me just say, Trump, as I said earlier, he's already announced that he may skip any debates. I am of the ilk that if we get a proper understanding from the Republicans in Congress and they find their backbone, that he'll be impeached and he won't be allowed to run for office. But he may skip the debates. He says they won't be fair. He keeps using this word. What he says is not fair. Well, what he's doing to us is not fair. What he does to people with intimidation is not fair. Again, I like to play with words. Propaganda. Prop, to prop up, it's a short way. Ganda is a male goose, if I remember right. Anyway, the man is putting out propaganda. He does all these rallies where he again sells more t-shirts and hats and trinkets that go into his pocket that he manufactures mainly in China. So he makes more money off of them. Understand what the man is doing. He's in it for whatever money he can extract from us. So propaganda. We don't need to prop up this guy who goes, when you look at any of his activities, when he goes to these rallies that he holds, that he's held since he went in office. He keeps holding these rallies because he says stuff that he feels he can get away with that as a president you're not supposed to do. But you know what? Beside the vacations he takes at his resorts, which is one out of every 3 days he's been in office, these rallies are additional time that he should be working for our betterment. But no, he's at rallies where he makes more money off his trinkets and he insults people. If that's what you want for a president, Then, as I said, freedom is a double-edged sword. If you don't give it and you allow this man to control what happens, you won't have your freedoms. He has proposed disability benefit changes that would hurt thousands of Americans. Mainly what he's done is through some of the Social Security. There are a lot of bad things that happen with Social Security. We need our government to act properly. We need all of our congressional people to get together and watch that we don't just rob our Social Security trust funds for general things. But there was a classification that he wants to get rid of for people between 50 and 65 with that you can prove have poor health and no income. These people will be affected by what he does. One of the categories that he wants to change, and it's millions of people. So people, we have to start focusing on the things he's doing while he's running around talking on the tarmac and telling you how he's being hurt. I don't have a lot of time left. I want you to please try and answer my question. What are the main things that you expect from congresspersons who represent you? And by the way, I've always looked at it that the more we get out there and the more we make ourselves known, everybody in Congress, every congressperson, Senate or House of Representatives, will understand that they don't just represent the people who sent them there. Those people sent them there because that's the body that's supposed to work together for our common good. If you're a senator from New York and they put you in charge of a commerce commission, you are not in charge of it for just commerce from New York. You're in charge of it for American commerce. And the same with every other thing. If you're a secretary of education, if you're part of a cabinet, not this cabinet where he's picked people who benefited him by things in his election and also things that they own. We have to get back to a more rational understanding of what our government does. It's there to serve us. And as I said, no matter how much money anybody spends, we have enough registered voters that if 70 to 75% of all Democrats, Republicans, liberals, independents, and whatever you want to call yourself, come out to vote, and we vote for the lesser of those two main evils, the one that we know either has been hurting us and we want no longer, someone else we want in there, and replacing people who've been in there kowtowing to this bully. Vote for new blood in Congress if you have to, because otherwise we will continue to hurt. I've talked about before, do your research. Trump has not had the greatest expanse in the economy. The average monthly increase in employment was bigger under Obama. Forget what the number is. Donald knows if he holds down immigration and uses visas, there are less people coming in to work in our economy. So the unemployment rate can go down, but it doesn't mean he's created more jobs. The average number of jobs created monthly was greater under Obama than under Donald Trump. The increase in the market from when Obama took office to when he left was greater than what Trump has touted and talked about. And Trump knows he does nothing. He's actually playing with the market. That will come out when he leaves office about how he's played with things with taking option things when his son-in-law, Mr. Kushner, knows to take a position because his father-in-law is going to come out and announce something. Democracy is under siege. It always happens, but it happens when the people do not go out and vote. That is the power no one can take away from you unless you let them. So again, we've talked about Trump diverting money for the wall. The Supreme Court with gerrymandering, they're going to come up with rules. Let me tell you, I always loved math. We need a Congress that sits down and says that every state, we will say, what's the capital? We put a pin in it. I'm almost done. We put a pin in that capital and we draw segments. And we have some mathematicians put up an algorithm that you have radians that go out to the edge of the state and catch a slice of that state so that each one of those segments have the same number of people. We don't care where they're living in that segment. We just know that it'll be a mix, that if everybody wants to move to that place, that's great. They'll still have another segment. It's we can mathematically draw lines that will encompass from the whatever the capital is of that state by lines that will segment it so that your representatives will have the same number of people in each segment, period, no matter what they are. So gerrymandering can stop. I just urge you all, answer my question, send in your notes. Real Republicans are not any more of a danger to us than anybody else. People who are afraid to stand up against a bully. We need to push them. So again, I urge you, send faxes, emails, letters, whatever you want to do. Letters still work. They get a ton of them on your representative or your senator. Send your senators. Tell them, because they've been taking polls of Americans. 7 out of 10 Americans want to hear from witnesses. That's what a trial is about. We've grown up with television and all kinds of trials. Where are the witnesses? Trump announced he's got all the documents when he came back from Davos. Let's get them to understand that we won't keep them in office if they don't vote to have witnesses and documents. I thank you guys. I am incensed. It is our country. We have to get off our ass and do something. Have a great weekend, folks.